Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name is Rob Seltzer and this is going to be cathartic. Joining me today is Dale Quarty. Dale, how are you, mate? What perfect timing to come to you. How are you?
Thirsty. How are you?
Yeah, me too. Very thirsty. Ned Rock, how are you, buddy?
I'm also thirsty, but that's mostly due to Mark's sort of appearance at the moment rather than Dale, who was having a bit of a drink of water.
And we'll just let that one fly through to the keeper and we'll speak going to said Mark in Queensland. How are you, Marky Mark?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm not thirsty because I just chugged a bit of kombucha. So yeah. I'm well refreshed on that front. And yeah, looking to rip in and chat all things Palace, mate.
Lads. All right. So, boys, well, where to begin? So we're currently, are we 14th still?
Yeah.
We're currently 14th in the league in dire straits, I believe. We can't sack a manager because no one wants to join us. We can't, the manager's god awful, and we all know my thoughts on Roy for about the past 6 years. But, so let's discuss Dale. Question, I'll put it like this. Who's to blame? Would you put it on Roy? Would you put it on the board? Would you put it on both? Who's to blame?
I'll put it on the players because they haven't scored enough goals. I'll put it on the players they haven't defended well enough. I'll put it on Roy because his tactics haven't been great. I'll put it on the board because they've only just bought a right back, mate. What sort of question is that? What nonsense.
There's the most peak Rob Seltzer question that has ever existed. Anything that goes wrong, there must be a single individual that I can scapegoat and blame and punch to the curb and destroy because there's only one person's fault at a time.
You didn't do it. It's annoying. It's one single individual and the answer is wrong. You didn't give me the right answer. So I'm gonna have to ask a different question now. Out of all the people in the dugout, and there's only one that you're allowed to choose one, and they have to be older than 75, whose fault is it?
Steve Kemba? He must be older. Not Steve Kemba, sorry. No, Ray Lewington. He must be older than 75.
No,
surely.
I don't think he is. He doesn't think he is. So, yes, the answer is indeed Roy. Well done. Moving on.
Ray Lewington, just 67 years old.
Winner.
How are we feeling with everything, though? Go on, Dale. How are we feeling with it all at the moment?
We're not happy, and that's fair. We're allowed not to be happy, and we're allowed to sit here and have our opinions about who's done what wrong and why it's gone wrong and whatever else. It would be churlish of us to sit here and go, oh, wow, this is a surprise. We've been here before. We've seen it all before. Do I think Roy should still be manager? No. Do I think he should have gone after the Arsenal game? Yes. Would that have given a new manager a transfer window and a 10-day break to work with the players? Yes. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And now we're in an even trickier predicament. Elise, Eze, Gerhi, and I'll chuck Coraxaki in there as well. Look, when it's not going your way, it's not going your way. Simple as.
One way of looking at it. Ned?
I'm just loving that Rob's just sitting there and he's just like, I don't actually care what anyone here has got to say. Literally the only reason we've signed up to a podcast is so that once everyone else has had something to say, I can just tear into Roy for a solid 15 minutes and that's all we're going to do. Do you want to just go for it, Rob? Let's cut the rubbish. Well, you take your moment, you get there, and then we can all, once that's done, we might be able to have some form of discussion. Because until that point, that's all you're waiting for. Go. Rob Seltzer, Rob's rants, the floor is yours. Begin.
We're going to build up to it, Ned.
We start strong.
5 years I've waited for this moment. Five long years.
All we got time for tonight, guys. It's been really enjoyable. We'll look forward to seeing you in Brisbane.
So predictable. You build me up. You're like the British press. You build me up and then you just give me that rubbish. I will caveat this by saying that the board have just got to take a long, hard look at themselves. A long, hard look at themselves, because they didn't set him up for success at all. Like, no way, shape, or form did the board set Roy up for success with the transfer window he had at the start and then what has proceeded on. But for me, the fact that he's still our manager is an absolute disgrace. And I mean, who would have seen the team that lost 5-0 to Arsenal? Who would have seen playing the exact same players, pretty much in the exact same positions, would lose 4-1 to Brighton? Who would have seen it? Everyone else apart from Roy. He's putting square pegs in round holes. Some of his things he's saying in the press. I mean, did you see the comment about Adam Wharton for his debut? Like we said, he played well. He gave the ball away for the third goal, though. And I know what you're going to say, Ned. He's right. He is right. That is very true. But you don't say it. You don't. Nikita's come on his debut. He's 19 years old. Just don't say that type of stuff. They don't need
20 now. It's his birthday. 20, yesterday.
Sorry. Well, now it's okay. He's 20, so he's fine. He's over the hill. But you just don't say that stuff.
Like, the only thing I'll say to that, Rob, just to jump in, is if he doesn't say that, what do you think the journalist's next question is going to be? So Adam Wharton's, you know, he did give away the goal ball for the third goal. How's that going to affect his confidence? If you throw it in that part, you get it out of the way, no one asks any questions about it, and you move on.
It's happened all season.
No, I think we're picking. I think you're nitpicking there. No, he's got. There's a lot you can take him on for. Take the easy, low-hanging fruit, Rob. Don't go for the hard stuff. Just smack those pinatas.
It's all part of it. I mean, the Elise say things ridiculous. The Elise say things negligent. Absolutely negligent. Why? Not one Palace fan wanted Elise to come on that field. Not one. Yet Roy brings him on, and now people. That's 2 months. The chance are we might not see Elise again this season, and that'll be it, because he's shown he's come back, he came back, got injured again. If he comes back and then he's not quite right, he doesn't play, it could happen that we don't see Elise again play for Palace, and that's 150% on Roy Hodgson. And look at the comments at the Arsenal game, right? He said, we brought on some kids and we conceded, I should have looked after the 3-0. We conceded 2 goals after bringing on the kids. We've conceded 3 with his starters on. Doesn't mention that. He doesn't pick on players that can, you know, fight back, I suppose. He picks on these young kids and it's just grating me. I think he's doing so much more harm to our long-term prospects currently. Like, what players want to come to Palace right now?
Daniel Munoz. Adam Wharton, just a couple. I mean,
none of
them. We were the top spenders in the transfer window, but, you know, that's fine.
Well, we had to be. We have no players. They're all injured because Roy doesn't treat them right. Man, I could go on and on. I just think he has to go. It's ridiculous that he hasn't gone. He shouldn't have been started. We shouldn't have started the season with him. It's gone from bad to worse to laughable now. His tactics are atrocious. He's playing players like Will Hughes, for example. Everyone sees that Will Hughes is in the 10, yet he carries on playing him in a 10. Why? Like, we have central midfielders that could play in central midfield, but he plays a centre-back in central midfield. Just go. He has to just go. I generally think if he doesn't, we are relegated. And all when we spoke last time, the last pod we said, I was like, is anyone worried about relegation? Only one was Big Mark said, yeah, I can see it. Then Dale, I ask you right now, if Roy doesn't leave, are you now worried about relegation?
I'm the perennial, we're going to get relegated. The only reason I stopped saying it is because you got kept bullying me for the last 5 years of doing a podcast.
Very true. That's very true.
But mate, the reality is we're on a slide. It's quite obvious. I do think there should be a change. I think if there isn't a change and we get relegated, I am going to put it down to the fact, and I know you're going to go, this is Roy's fault, whatever, but we're going to get relegated because we haven't got our best players available. And I appreciate what happened with Elise, etc. But if a new manager comes in, whilst I do finish a year change, I'm not 100% sure that new manager is going to get the team suddenly playing Barcelona football and we're going to stay up. I think he may do, a new manager may do a better job of going, right, okay, Chris Richards, you're playing at centre back. Adam Wharton and, yeah, Ned, Adam Wharton and David Ozo and Jefferson Lerma, you're my midfield three, etc. But that doesn't necessarily guarantee we're going to stay up. So
am I worried we're going to go down?
Yes, I am. Would I still be worried that we're going to go down if everyone was fit? Yes, I would be.
I wouldn't be worried with it going down.
We had everyone fit last year and we went on a run of however many without winning.
And but then again, that was per Vieira's door for awful tactics.
And exactly right. But it was the same players. It was the same players that we're now saying that if we had them, we'll definitely stay up. So I just think that's it. That's it. I'll apply and hand over to Mark now, please.
Yeah, I get it. But Vieira was like, and Vieira destroyed Ebbs. You saw what Ebbs did win.
Can you hand over to Mark now, please?
No, absolutely not. This is my show and I'll do what I want. I'll take my ball and I'll go home if I want to.
It's okay. You can let him speak for as long as he wants. I can just edit it out.
Well, I can mute him. This is what he doesn't realise. I can mute him.
We used to do this at work when the boss was speaking, someone muted me, pissed off.
Just like that, really.
I remember this game.
Well played, Dale. Well played.
I remember this game. Nah, I just think one last thing I'll say before I pass over to Mark. I know Ned's going to be like, oh my God, really? But we now are relying on squad players. We are, such as Ahamada, Franca, and all that, to hit the ground running now. They haven't played enough football. Like if we've given them more minutes in the build at times when we should have got them on, maybe we'd know more about them. But at the moment, we need them to hit the ground running. We have no idea what they're about. So let them go. Good riddance. See you later. Go, Mark.
What's the question, Rob?
Who knows? I have no idea.
Speak about Palace.
If you just want my take on sort of where we're at the moment.
Go with that, and then we can talk about Brisbane.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's cut and paste, isn't it? We've been talking the same shit for four or five seasons, really. So it's a systemic problem that we seem to have from the top down, really. Parish, the board, as I said, the last four or five seasons, we're very reactive instead of proactive. I guess when we were proactive, it was with Frank de Boer, and that lasted four games, and that shit the bed. So, you know, Roy came in and was everyone's darling at the end of last season. I think, you know, this podcast could have coached a team to probably as many points as what Roy got in those last 10 odd games. Probably should never have got the nod for this season. And I think the reason he did is because we didn't have anything decent lined up. It's probably more the case, you know, dubbed a safe pair of hands, all that sort of jazz, knows the player, yada, 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 all good and well until we're in the position we are now. So hindsight's a beautiful thing, obviously, but yeah, we just, and I've said this before on the pod and just quoting Steve Parrish, just say, you know, if you're in this comp or league and you're not going forwards, you're not going backwards, well, I don't know what sort of strides we've taken forward of late. Ned Mitz mentioned we've topped the transfer window for spending. That's all good and well. I think we went five or six windows on the bounce where we spent less than most championship sides in windows. So very poor on that front. So to put a hand up now in the 11th hour when you know, we're in dire straits and want to have something to say doesn't really can't come at me much. But so it's not one thing, mate. It's not Roy on his own. He plays a big part. It's a lot easier to get angry at one person than, you know, a squad of people or a boardroom of people. So I think everyone needs to have a bloody long hard look at themselves. This is a very emotive subject, obviously. We'll fucking throw our hands in the air when we're not getting our way or results and things. So we are where we are. 14th's the new 12th, but I am got my eye on that R word, mate.
Mm. Go on, Vin. Hand over to you, mate.
I think in reality, we're a two-man team. Okay, last year we had three. This year we have two. Our two have played four games together for the season. That's not helping anyone. For a start, I think in terms of, you know, we had all those games at the back end of last year where we went brilliantly. The tactics are exactly the same as they were in those games. The difference is we had three players who could actually go and attack. And when we got the ball, we looked like scoring goals. We now don't have that. Do we need a change? Yes. Interrupted by Dale. Do we need a change? Yes. The reason we need a change is because the negativity around the place at the moment, just it's permeating into footballing decisions. And once that happens, then you've got to change something. But I think the thing is at the moment that is really not going to help is everyone's looking around going, oh, we don't really like what we're seeing. Let's remove Roy. Now, you can remove Roy if you want. Removing Roy is not going to suddenly fix Eze and Aliso's injuries. It's not going to fix Mark Gehi's injuries. It's not going to give us extra cover at left back. It's not going to turn Mateta and Edouard into Messi and Ronaldo. It's not going to make Jeffrey Schlupp a promising attacking option. It's not going to do any of those things. If we were to get a new manager in for the week for the Chelsea game, realistically, they're probably making at most two changes in terms of personnel for the players that are available. So, you know, maybe there's a swap, maybe there's a swap in goals and we take the statue out and replace him with Sam Johnston. And we sort of, you know, and potentially Francie gets a run somewhere. But realistically, it's probably would be a very similar team. In terms of what we do going forward, I think Mark touched on the fact that what we're doing is reactive, which is spot on. That is also the same on the pitch. I think everyone sits there and says, oh, you know, Roy's tactics are super negative and he sits and he holds. If you actually watch like where the players are, they actually do press quite a long way up the pitch. We're just shit at it. So the players that go forward, like if you watch that game against Arsenal, even at 0-0, we've got players up trying to take the ball off their defenders, but it's one person at a time. It's not a team-oriented press. And now obviously you've got to take some, you know, Roy has to take some accountability for that, but the players also have to take accountability for that. And we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know whether Roy has said, okay, we press like this and the players haven't done it properly, because you can see they know where to go, but they just go once the ball's already there, so it's too late. Most of the goals that we're conceding are set pieces. The fact that we're so bad at set pieces is probably it does my head in. We've got no players that can actually create other than Elise and Eze, who are permanently injured. If you are going, but what we do have is Jordan Ayew, who can do nothing other than fall over and win fouls. So we're going to end up with a million free kicks, a whole heap of corners. Fucking find a way to turn those into goals. And then at the other end, defensively, nothing. You know, every time they get a corner, it's like a penalty. So you sort of sit there and you turn around and you go, If we'd fixed set pieces and we had Eze and Elise still fit, Roy's tactics all of a sudden would have us winning the same amount of games we were winning at the back end of last year, and everyone's sitting there going, oh, he's fantastic, go him. So there's more to it than that. He needs to go because we need to get the negativity out of it, and he's started making changes based on what fans want. So now he's sort of stuck between doing his own philosophy and what the fans want, which means that he's not sticking to anything, which is not a good place to be. You know, if you get, either you stick to what you want to do or you change to what the other person's doing, but you don't sit in the middle, because that's not going to work. That doesn't work at any level. But I think everyone sort of is looking at it like we get rid of Roy and it's this magic bullet and suddenly all of the problems have gone away. That's not what's going to happen. We're a mid-table club. We're not that good. Probably a little bit better than we are now, but not with the current squad that we have available. So I think that's sort of where we're at. Make the change, but I just can't see that it's going to miraculously do all of the things that everyone would love it to do.
You make unsurprisingly for you, you've made some valid points. I can't disagree with all of them. I disagree with some because it's just what we do. But like, so the thing for me is that maybe a change. I think a change needs to happen. Sometimes you just need a change of voice. And I think Roy's race is done. Like, absolutely done. The thing that for me, and I know, all jokes aside, and I know people are gonna, it's kind of like this, like Dale and the Wolf thing, and people think I pick on him. But hand on heart, what does Jeff Schlupp bring to the team, right? No, generally, I know this is for like,
mate, I've said this before, right? Jeff Schlupp is a good player. Premier League footballer, only player in our club who's won a league.
I agree.
He's what we all, I mean, everyone here would agree, in our best 11 with everybody fit, he does not start.
What's not?
However, as we've said this season, to have our best 11, you need to have Elise and Eze as there playing, right? They've done that 4 times, which means that Jeff Schlupp has to play. If he's not going to play Francia, he has to play Jeff Schlupp.
I'll ask you one question about Jeff Schlupp, Rob. That's the reverse of what you're asking. You're saying, what does Jeff Schlupp provide us? You're looking at it mostly from an attacking perspective. What does Jeff Schlupp cost us defensively?
More than you think. There was a number of times watching him. He doesn't track runners quite a lot of the time. And then I watched it on Saturday because when I saw the team, I'm like, right, fuck it, now this is what. A ball gets paid down the left-hand side, like down his side, and he's like goes past him. He then doesn't run. He then jogs back. The right back sprinting, which leaves Tyreek Mitchell in a 2-on-1 situation, and Schlupp is just jogging. He doesn't break into a sprint at all, and I think they ended up coming inside in the end, but he left Mitchell high and dry.
But we don't know what the instructions are there, Rob.
What do you reckon the instructions are?
Because the instruction is, if they get the ball wide, Jeff, I want you to be that player who covers that ball so it can't get cut back into the middle. Then he's done his job.
He weren't there. He weren't in the middle. He was just jogging down the side.
Anyway, he went in the middle. What's next? It's still Roy bashing. What's next?
I'm just saying that. This is the reason that I think it needs to change is that players can play horrendously badly and there is no threat of them losing their spot.
And so, but I don't think there's going to be a risk of them losing their spot with any manager at the moment because all the players that we've got are either 12 years old or have proven themselves to be utter dog shit. We're sitting there going...
What have we got to lose in playing? I don't know. Don't ask me the name.
Survival. That's what we've got to lose, Rob.
Yeah, the last
about £120 million a year.
The last 3 games, we've conceded 9-11 goals, 2 of which are Sheffield United, by the way. Shy. So you take, and then we had Elise and Eze, and they won us the game. The other two, where we didn't have them,
how many of those 5-0 pieces?
And 4-1. Right. I don't think giving a couple of other players a go in those games would have been any worse. At all, but we didn't see any of them, and then it would be the same old shit, same result. So that's why I think he has to go because nothing's going to fucking change. It just won't. And if he's here for the Chelsea game, I guarantee you I can name you the starting 11 now. All 4 of us can name the starting 11 now, and it'll be the exact same one that happened, just lost 4-1 to Brighton.
But if we sack, I'll be honest, if we sack Roy, I reckon I can name you at least 9 or 10 of the starting 11 as well.
It won't be, Rob, because Mark Gerhey's injured.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you for that one. Great.
Just quickly on that, Rob, before you move on, I just saw on one of the Palace-related pages on Facebook, Lopetegui's been touted as a guy to take over for the rest of the season. I don't know how true it is, obviously, but...
Anyone. Mark, throw your hat in the ring, mate, and I'll back you.
All right, mate. No worries.
But only after the Brisbane weekend, then you can throw your hat into the ring. So give him Chelsea, and then you can go.
Mate, I'm going to be alive or a free man after this weekend.
Well, we can discuss that later on. We're all staying in the same house. So don't say that, mate. It makes me nervous. I'm a dad, and I don't go out very often. So it makes me nervous. All right, that's enough of that. So let's talk about the future, right? What, as manager, let's talk manager-wise. Go quick round the room. Ned, who do you want to see come in? Say Mourinho.
Oh, Pep. Realistically, I think, yeah, I who knows? I mean, with the names that we're linked with are always the same meh options that aren't exactly thrilling. So I would love to see us just go completely wild and just go for some manager who's tearing it up in a league we've all never heard of, and we go, fuck it, you know what, let's have a crack. That's what I would like.
Quick question, has Kuma Babacar retired, and is he available as a manager?
I wouldn't have a clue. That's if you can do that research yourself.
Let's throw that
Get Shefky Coochie in. Huh?
Get
Shefky Coochie in.
Yeah, or David Nugent. Dale, what do you reckon?
First question, were you serious the other day when you put in the WhatsApp group Jose Mourinho?
No, mate. As if we could get Jose.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I'd take it all day long.
What I will say is the people who have said no to Steve Cooper because he had 50 players to choose from and couldn't get them winning, I would argue that's exactly why he couldn't get them winning.
I am 100% with you on that. That is so difficult to do. He's a whole new team win.
And I don't reckon he had many of the players that he wanted in there. Julian Lugategui didn't always quit the Wolves job because they weren't going to spend money. Well, welcome to Selhurst, my friend. look, I don't know who's going to be the manager. I don't know who I want to be the manager. There are people out there who could do a Sterling job. There are people out there who you would think would do a Sterling job and they'll be goddamn awful. So, you know, if you look at past performance, look at what's going to happen in the future, then you have to say Graham Potter. Do I think Graham Potter will take the Palace job? No. If what was said was true that we weren't going to consider him because he's ex-Brighton, God give me strength. That shows how narrow-minded our club is and why it won't go anywhere. So look, let's just wait and see. I keep refreshing my phone to see if it's been announced. It hasn't been. I don't know. Let's just hope it's someone who can get the team to string 5 passes together and shoot.
What I will say about you refreshing your phone there, Dale, is I've already got the title of this podcast sorted. It's just going to be called Hodgson Leaves Palace, and we're going to post it everywhere, and it's going to get so many clicks. Oh, we're going to clickbait the shit out of this episode.
Smart.
Is the question who I want in for manager?
Absolutely.
Well, we should have fucking rolled out the red carpet before season starts and hoodwinked one A Postecoglou and his backroom staff. That involves one M. Zedinak, who you might recall, and we wouldn't be in this fucking horrible mess. But no, we let that go slip through our fingers, and we are where we are. So, Potter, I couldn't give a shit that he was fucking ex-Brighton or whatever. If he's good for the gig, then get him in. But it's petty to bang on that he used to be ex-Brighton or whatever, whatever. But then, what's the business? What's gardening leave mean exactly? Does that mean like you're getting paid from your old employer and you're not supposed to work somewhere else for a period of time? Is that essentially what that means?
Effectively, but I don't know how accurate it is whether he's on gardening leave. It's all very much up in the air and unproven as to whether or not he is. It's very common in Italy. They love it. They basically, okay, instead of sacking a manager because it costs too much, they just keep paying them and just hire another one and just, yep, tell them to. And so they're still employed. And then half the time, then they don't like the second one. They sack them and just bring the old guy back in to just continue off where he left off. Okay. But I don't know if that's actually the case with Potter. That's definitely the rumor, or it could just be that he couldn't be fucked managing for a bit and took a break.
Fair enough. Well, in the vein of Ned wanting someone from a far-flung league, perhaps we hadn't heard, what about the Aussie bloke that managed down in Wales, Aaron, won the comp down there last season? Get him in.
Down in Wales?
If you can name him, Mark, we'll get him in.
Well,
I know who you talked about, but I can't remember.
Several podcasts ago when I discovered that he had won the league down there. Obviously, that's not been information that's been retained in my brain, but I'll pick it up. Maybe Dark can refresh his phone and have a squiz quickly for us.
on the subject of gardening leave, I heard that if you work for one of the Formula One teams, if you then resign, they put you on 2 years gardening leave so you don't take any of the secrets with you. So just don't work for 2 years and get paid a fortune.
Is that why Lewis isn't allowed to go to Ferrari until 2025?
I know, right? Nah, he's a driver, he's like an engineer and stuff. Like, not
I was joking.
Okay. I don't know anything about Formula One. I don't watch it. I only watch it for the first corner for the crash, and that do me. He crashes at the first corner. That's good. Sweet. I don't give a shit. They're just going to drive around really fast. I don't care.
Just watch 3 minute Palace highlights every week. Far more entertaining.
Yeah. Car crash every week, mate.
Car crash
every
in the
corner.
First minute, and then they go around in circles. Not that
exactly.
For the next 89.
I've got to go to work on Tuesday, so I won't be able to watch the game live. I'm going to have to avoid my phone and watch the disaster when I get back. So that'll be fun. All right. So what does the future hold for Palace? What do you reckon it holds, Mark?
What's that for, sir, mate? What are the
future hold for the mighty Eagles?
As in this season or in general, or
let's go this season. Let's go short term, and you can talk a bit of a longer term if you want.
Yeah, I think hard to say, isn't it? I mean, these injuries just seems ridiculous at the moment. I know every team has injuries and, you know, problems here and there. It's not always just us, but geez, it really seems a spectacular clusterfuck of injuries of good players, guys we can't afford to have injured at the moment. And then, yeah, Rakitic putting his hand up for that the other day. So it's hard to say, man. I mean, I don't think it's just very hard to say. There's so many unknowns, man. So many balls in the air. I mean, what would I like to happen, or what I think will probably happen is we'll huff and puff. We'll scrape out the odd point here or there. We'll lose games we're supposed to win or win on paper. We'll draw or win the odd game we shouldn't. We'll all bitch and moan and drag our heels to the end of the season and probably finish, you know, 16th.
Quite the handle for 16th at the moment.
Jeez. Yeah, me too. And we'll go through it all again at end of season, and you know, all the same questions will pop up, and dare I say, inactivity on the parish of the poor behalf. And mate, we'll roll again for
24-25. Ed,
I think in terms of so short term, I think Sheffield United and Burnley are miles away, so they're not going to get as many points as we currently have, so that's fine, even if we don't win a game for the rest of the year. Then there's, you know, those few teams below us. You know, the points deductions aren't going to come into effect, you wouldn't think, until next year, if there are any. In terms of the injuries, I was just having a look at, like, our injury list, while it seems horrific to us, is actually not really that much worse than anyone else's. The fact that we're a two-man team is a bit more of a killer for us, because our two men have on our injury list, whereas for everyone else, it's a case of, you know, if they lose two players, it doesn't really matter as much. But I think there's plenty of teams, as always, you know, we always focus on ourselves, as you do. But I would imagine there's two or three teams below us sitting there going, we're no chance at staying up as well. I'm still not hugely concerned that we're going down, just because we have some points on the board already. We only probably have to pick up another two or three wins. I don't think you're going to need truckloads of points to stay up. At this point, so, you know, I think a Forest or a Luton or whoever it is will drop off at some point as well. So, you know, we'll probably, you know, that sort of 15th, 16th spot is probably about where we'll sit. Longer term than that, I mean, we're in that tough position where, you know, we're sitting there, we're saying, oh, we haven't spent any money recently. And then you turn around and you look at sort of some of the clubs around us who have spent money recently, who are now sitting there going, shit, we can't spend anything and we have to sell everyone because we're fucked with this. Now that they've actually decided that financial fair play does exist and we're going to penalise people for it. So we know we're fine there, whereas, you know, your clubs like your Forests, your Evertons, your Villas are all sitting there looking over their shoulder going, oh, shit, we're about to potentially take a hit here on with points, which is not something we have to worry about. I've posted in the chat before in terms of, I think, long term, the only way we're getting anywhere is if we end up being bought out. Do I want us to be bought out? Not really. I like the fact that we're sort of one of those clubs that has still got a bit of a soul. Yes, we potentially could have a little bit more courage at some point. We sort of keep threatening. I think that what's holding us back really is the fact that we sort of keep saying, look, we want to play this more progressive style, and we sort of take steps in that direction. And then as soon as there's a bit of an obstacle, we sort of go, oh, no, we don't want to do that, and sort of step back again. Either we've got to commit to it, take the success or the failure, or we just accept that, look, we're a defensively solid, good counter-attacking team when we're at our best, and we play to that. If that's they're going to be our strength, that's what we've done for the last 10 years. Leicester City won the league doing that. Like, it doesn't mean that you can't be entertaining. It doesn't mean that you can't be successful. But we just sort of have that at the moment where we sort of aren't quite sure whether to go or whether to stay. And each time we start trying to go, if there's an obstacle, we pull back again. And that's not going to help us get forward. So either we just commit to what we've got and we do it really well and we try and push like that, or we commit to the change. But that's the only way that we're going forward. Otherwise, happy 12th for eternity until eventually we fuck something up and pop back down to the Championship for a year and then pop back up again to finish 12th again.
Dale?
I think this season will be squeaky bum time for most of it. We'll get to see people like Adam Wharton and we'll go, geez, he's pretty good for a 20-year-old. I still think the biggest loss, whilst it has been at least saying as a, yeah, I think losing Cheick Doucouré in that midfield still has been like, you know, I think it just goes to show how good a player he is. And you look at him and you forget he's 23 years old as well. And I think that if we survive this season, my real concern is that we will be starting again. Because I think despite the injuries, one of Eze or Elise goes and probably Gerhi goes. And probably some question marks now over Chris Richards as a defending force. I will say in his defence he hasn't played a lot of centre back recently. So
well, that's the best defence involving Chris Richards I've heard in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you know, well, that's all we can say about him, right? He hasn't been in his position. He hasn't really been playing. Going to Rob's point before, so I think in the next summer window, if we stay up, there is going to be overhaul. There's obviously going to be either a new manager or someone who has been 5 months in the job. Let's see where that takes us. That's all I've got to say.
I'm not too worried about the restart, the restart the world, the kind of the restart in the summer, because we knew this was coming, right? We bought Elise Gehi as a 2 sell, right?
Yeah, but I know you've been trying to sell them from the moment they signed for us, mate. But had we not, I'm jumping in, but there's two schools of thought, right? You either go down the Zaha route and you basically price them so far out in the market that they can't go anywhere and ultimately probably ruin the best years of their career. Or you do what they've done with as a release aid, you give him a minimum fee release clause, which means he can go, right? But by the same token, you don't have to sell him. If we had finished 10th this year and had a bit of a cup run, you're not selling them. And you don't have to do the reboot, because adding one or two pieces is easier than trying to find more jewels in your crown. And so when you say you're not worried about it, I think you should be extremely worried about it, because if we sell Elise for 40 million, 50 million, guess what? Everyone knows we're trying to find another one, and they're going to have to, and they're going to charge us through the nose. And if we end up paying 40 million for somebody, we ain't going to be spending anything else on anyone else. So then we are screwed.
Yeah, but that's where your scour network comes in. That I'm generally not worried about it. I know you say I've been trying to send them for years, but I mean that's the reason they signed for us. At least they signed for us because we were going to be a stepping stone for him. He doesn't sign for us to be Wilf and be here 10 years. He's not interested in that.
Yeah, but the same. You're missing the point. We now sell Elise.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find somebody who is as good as him, and we are not going to at bargain.
But I think Dale, that's where I disagree in terms of that's where we've always gone wrong in terms of we sell these superstars and we try to find a player that is as good as them. We don't need a Michael Elise. We need three players
that
can actually compete and make up and create the 15 goals that he provides us a year.
I completely agree with that, Ned. I completely agree with that. Do you have faith in our club to do that? To do either of those correctly? I don't.
I do. I do. I don't have faith in us to sell. I don't have faith in us to sell because our selling has been shit and we sell under price. Yeah. However, if we can start selling at the right time, then yeah, I do, because you're looking at the likes, you know, the players that we should be bringing in are your Elise's, they are your Eze's, potentially your Francis. That, I mean, he fits the profile. Yeah. We don't know if he's going to get there. Your Whartons, we're buying them all for 20 million. If we're buying these players for 20 and we're selling for 60, then we only need to hit, then we can afford the occasional dud as well. So if we buy at 20, we sell 60 to 80.
But my concern is when the Elise is so pivotal to who we are, so pivotal. So that one, as we saw against Sheffield United, that one player did so much for us. If we sell him and bring in three players, brilliant, strengthen the squad, etc. The likelihood is that those three players are not going to, I think you know where I'm coming from. My concern is,
I do know where you're coming from, but I think this is what has held us back. It's, you know, we never cashed in on Wilf, and we end up losing him for free.
Silly.
If we don't cash in on Elise, we end up losing him for cheaper or free. We don't cash in on Eze, end up losing him for cheaper or free. And because our fans get so attached to these players and go, we never want them to leave. I mean, we had Conor Gallagher. He was everything to us for a season. He left. We got a new player in. We were okay. Elise goes, then all of a sudden the rest of the players go, okay, well, we can't kiss pass to Michael Elise now. Now we have to do something. If we've got three people to come, that's the only way to be sustainable, because Elise, as we've seen this year, if he's all we've got and he gets injured, well, we're fucked.
I agree with that. But the only thing I'll say that makes me, concerns me, is we had a good right back. We sold him exactly the right time. Got a boatload of money for it, and only just replaced him. And I know everyone will go, but we used the money for the academy and whatever else. We've only just replaced him when we were literally like playing a one-legged man at
right. Yeah, 100%.
And that's what concerns me.
You heard 100%. There was no argument. There was no argument there, but just to jump on like what Ned was saying, that so we're not replacing Michael Elise with Michael Elise. Michael Elise is a freakishly good footballer. Right. If we sign three decent players, going back to the kind of the Jeff Schlupp comment, then your Jeff Schlupps who don't offer much, or Jordan Ayews or your Will Hugheses who aren't offering much, aren't playing anymore. So those slightly better players are all playing. So then we're not just a one man team, right? We've got three decent players. So if they mark two of them out, you've got one over. So like if one's injured, you've still got two. That's the kind of, and
Do I trust us to repeat? Better than decent, because you're decent players. Are you Will Hughes? Are you Jeff Schlapps? They're your squad players.
But at the same, Dale, the players that we're signing for 20 million are the ones that are stepping up to become those Elises. If they see that they come to Palace, you know, so that they see Michael Elise, Eberici, as they come to Palace, dominate at Palace for 2 to 3 years, move off to Real Madrid and Barcelona for 100 million a pop. The next really good players in the Championship are sitting there. The 20 million pound offer comes in from Palace. They're going, get me to that club. That's why they want to go to Brighton at the moment because they know that they'll get moved on to Chelsea for a squillion quid, and that's how it works. I understand your concerns about whether we can do it or not, but we've shown we can identify the talent. We've shown we can nurture the talent to get to its potential. We just haven't bothered selling when that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we sell them all, but we should be selling at least one player for 70 million quid every year.
I've got no issue with any of that. Like I said, my concern is just two concerns are. One, do we use the money in the right way and the right people? And I know that's always a gamble, right? And my other concern is, if depending on who you sell, the immediate impact of that person can be difficult to cover. That's all I'm saying.
Of course it is. That's the problem that we have to deal with, because the impact of losing all of them and making no money is significantly worse.
I agree. I would be happy. The player I'd be happy to lose this summer would be Mark Ehe. I think that's more easily replaceable than.
I would have said Joachim Andersen based on current form, but 6 of 1, 6 of 1, 6 of 1
Yeah, I'm talking about your three players you're going to sell being Elise, Eze, Gerhi. If it's one of those three, I'd say Gerhi. As much as I love him, he'd be the one I'd let go.
I'd say that, but I think Elise is pretty much nailed on to leave, I would say.
We said that about Wilf for about 9 years straight, though. So
Wilf's a different. I don't even compare the two. Anyway, let's put that in the head. Let's quote that in the head, because now we're going to hand over to Marky Mark to talk us about the weekend that is going to be. Every single Palace fan around the world puts this weekend in their diaries. They want to know about it. If they're not coming, they want to know about it. So Mark, over to you, mate.
Yeah. Tell us. Well, given there is no fixture for the weekend.
Which is wonderful, by the way. So he doesn't even.
No, well done. Well organised.
Yeah.
You've ensured we can't lose.
The national meetup will not be sullied by a poor performance from Crystal Palace and us kicking stones at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, cursing the mighty red and blue. So we don't have to worry about that. So that's a plus. Yes, mate, national meetup here in Bris Vegas. Sunny, warm, bring Vegas. Don't worry about your fucking jumpers and whatnot. If you're coming up from Melbourne or Sydney, will not be required. Mate, yeah, kicking off proceedings here. Obviously, you gents will be coming up. We've got an exiled eagle's nest at Southbank. Beautiful accommodation there, which half of us have fucking paid for and the other half are just lollygagging about and
name and shame. I don't want my name sullied
with this. I'll happily put my foot ahead. I'm one that hasn't paid, but I'll show you. I don't know what's going on. Has the money still not got on it?
Yeah. Oh, buddy, carry pigeon, mate. Must have had a break at casino or something on the way up here.
Okay.
Well, I paid.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate that. So anyway, we're kicking off proceedings in Southbank Beer Garden Friday afternoon, 5:30. I'll be there by then. Hopefully, going to finish work early, get in there and get a few jars in. Welcome drinks. Probably going to roll out much. I'm going to pinch Adelaide's idea and just have some trivia sheets to hand out on that night. No cheating, obviously, and there'll be a few prizes for that. Saturday morning, we're going to get up bright and early. Then we're going to go do some axe throwing at West End. Booked in there. That'll be a bit of fun. Now, I just got an email from today. They were strict. I thought they sold booze there. So you can't have drinks while you're there. No liquor. So if you want to do that, boys, make sure you get up really early, get some in, because they don't serve booze there. Probably for obvious reasons, flying axes. You know, that and alcohol is probably not the most tremendous mix you want. Ten-pin bowling and booze is one thing, axe throwing and alcohol maybe another. So be warned, lads, if you're feeling thirsty, get a few jars in before you go and don't stand too close to the staff when you ask questions. From there, we're going to Ross's Bacchus Brewery out at Capalabar. Bit of a favourite for the boys. Ross is a pal supporter. He's keen to have us out there. We all went out there last meetup, where there'll be plenty of alcohol on offer, mainly his vicious beers on tap or in bottle or cans, whatever floats your boat with them. We're then going to make our way back into the city to the hallowed turf of Suncorp Stadium. We're going to watch the mighty Brisbane Roar take on Melbourne City. Then after that's about five. After that, we're going to do a pub crawl up the famous Caxton Street. Make our way. We've got a few hours up our sleeve there, so we'll slowly wind down to the big brown snake, which is the Brisbane River, and we'll get into the Pig and Whistle there, and we can watch any one of a number of games that will be on the Asian Cup final. I'm actually quite interested in watching Spurs hopefully fucking batter Brighton, which would be good, obviously under Big Ange's tutelage, so I have a vested interest there. The managers it could have been, all that sort of jazz. So that'll take us through the wee hours of Sunday morning. When we get up, we duck ourselves off. Survivor's breakfast at Jimmy's on the Mall. Namesake of Jimmy Fletcher, possibly. I don't think it's named after him, but he can see his name up in bright lights there if he makes it to the brekkie. And then we'll all bid each other farewell till next year, which is going to be Sydney for the 10th. Anniversary of said meetup. So looking forward to it, mate. Looking forward to seeing all you lads up there. Ned, it's been, 2 weeks since I've seen you. It'd be good to catch up again. And obviously all the Palace faithful that come from far and wide. Everyone welcome. I'm assuming everyone's got their ducks in a row, a com and flights and all that sort of jazz. But, yeah, if you don't and you fancy popping by this Friday, Saturday and Sunday in Brisbane, check out all the supporter group pages, plenty up there. And if you've got any queries or anything, just hit me up on the socials and I'm happy to field or answer any questions I can. So looking forward to it.
Mate, sounds like a cracking weekend and I'm very excited to get up there. I'll be landing in Brisbane just after five, so I should be close, getting pretty much a...
Believe it when we see it.
I'm looking forward to my annual flight delay. I don't think made it on time on a Friday night to meet up in about 5 years. Every time I'm scheduled to arrive around 7:30, usually roll in around about 11 or 12. But I make up for it, so that's okay.
You got to Adelaide hella late, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was okay. I stayed out in Adelaide hella late too, so, you know.
That's true.
Good times.
Yeah. Well, I shall be up there, Dame. I will be there. My flights are booked 4:40 from Sydney. I fly out and land at 5:05. The joys of being an hour behind. So it's a 25-minute flight, apparently.
Sweet.
Up to Brisbane. And I'm going to get the train from the airport out. I don't know where that goes, but that'll be a bit of fun.
Join us next time for more travel ways with Rob Seltzer. Yeah.
Then just make sure you don't put Jordo's address into the Uber when you're in the station, mate.
That was ridiculous. That was why are we here?
Yeah, it cost me an arm and a leg that and an hour of all of our lives. So I do apologize. Yeah. It was funny.
That was good shit. All right, boys. I think we'll knock on the head there. So thank you very much. I feel better. I think still now I haven't had my phone on me, so I'm going to immediately check Twitter and see that he's gone.
He's just gone.
Breaking news.
Oh, look out.
Shut up.
He hasn't really.
Nah, mate. Of course not.
Don't. I'm a man on the edge.
Great minds, Ned.
I'm a man on the edge. Don't do that to a man on the edge, all right? That's not okay. All right. But look, fellas, thank you very much for today. I enjoyed it. It made me feel better. That last bit has now put me back over put me like back into depression. So thank you very much. I've got to now get myself out of the funk. I look forward, Dale, enjoy your cream egg. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. And I look forward to seeing everyone in sunny Vegas.
See you there.
Awesome. See you there. Yeah, Jack, that's not the purpose.